Good morning, church family. Reading today is from Mark chapter 10, verses 13 to 16, entitled The Little Children and Jesus. And I shan't sing it, I shall read it. People were bringing little children to Jesus for him to place his hands on them, but the disciples rebuked them. When Jesus saw this, he was indignant. He said to them, "Let the little children come to me, and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Truly, I tell you, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it." And he took the children in his arms, placed his hands on them, and blessed them. Amen.
Well, as you can see, we are beginning a new series entitled Growing Together. Growing Together. Can you say that?
Growing Together.
Well done. And this morning, we're beginning this new series because we believe it is about growing together. And that the title really captures the heart of what we believe God is calling us into. We've got a vision which we discerned last year, and there are four areas within that vision that we are seeking to focus on, one of which is children and youth and families. And what I'd encourage you to do is at the end of the service, there is in the back hall a table with the vision card in it, there's a holder with a vision card, and there's four other holders with the four different themes. If you've not collected them, then you can collect them all, but if not, at least collect the children one, the children and families. Because we want to be a community that is growing together as one family in Christ, where every generation matters. Every generation matters. Every voice has value. And every person, from the youngest to the oldest, plays a vital part in the life of this community. Amen?
Amen.
Good. So why this series, perhaps, you might be asking. Well, as many of you know, as a church, we've been seeking God's guidance in the previous last year. And this is the vision, to be a Holy Spirit-led, all-age community of God, prayerfully, proactively spreading the love of Christ. Now that vision is not just a sentence on a page. It's a calling. It's God's dream for us. And as we prayed and listened, we identified these four areas, as I've said, and one of those is the children and youth. So that is why this term, our series, is focusing on children and young people. And we're thinking about how, therefore, we as a community of believers can walk with them, can encourage them, and be aware ourselves. So that is why this series matters so much. Because if we want to become a truly all-age community, then we need to understand the value of children and young people. We need to listen to them. We need to learn from them and recognize the incredible part they play in the kingdom of God, but also the fact that we have a part to play in forming them, don't we? There is that phrase, isn't it? It takes a village to raise a child. And Mahala used it when she was presenting her vision, that this village has a responsibility to raise the children. So the series Growing Together will help us, I believe and I hope, understand the value and identity of children and young people, will strengthen relationships across generations, will equip us as the church, not just parents, not just the youth leaders or the children's work team, but everyone. And ask, how do we live faithfully as a community where all ages flourish together. Because that's what my desire is, that every age flourishes and grows with God. Because it's not just an adult thing. Knowing Jesus isn't just an adult thing. It's an everyone thing. Because I want senior citizens to flourish with God. Okay, and I know sometimes we bang on about the children and youth all the time. We bang on about them. What about? Well, yes, okay. But our heart is really that everybody grows with God. So actually, my hope is that each one of you here this morning will grow with God. You will look back in 7 weeks' time and go, wow, I've grown. And I pray that you would be praying that every day. God, help me grow. I've been pushing myself. I've been praying for people more consciously, more actively. If somebody says, oh, da-da-da, I say, well, I'm going to pray for that right now. But it's not just about me growing. It's about us all growing. So I hope through this series we will all grow. Because every generation reflects something of God. You see, one of the most beautiful truths in Scripture is that God reveals himself through all generations. Children reveal his joy, his trust, his delight. Young people often reveal his passion, his courage, and his willingness to challenge the status quo. Adults reveal his wisdom and perseverance. And then the older generations, you can decide whether you're an adult or an older generation, that's up to you, reveal his faithfulness and the strength of life walked with God over time. When all of these come together, we see a fuller picture of God. That's why this series matters. Because no one generation is the main generation. We need each other. And we grow together when we do have generations. So my prayer is that as we step into this next 9-week series or 8-week series with some breaks for praise in the park and Father's Day and a baptism service, we will see this, that Holy Spirit would deepen our love for every generation. Make us a people who support and learn from one another and shape us into a flourishing, Spirit-led, all-age family of God. Amen? So why do children matter so much to God? And what challenges do they face? Well, the answer to that, as we heard, is in those words in Mark 10, 13 to 16. Children matter because they matter to Jesus. Children matter because they matter to Jesus. This scene, many of us learned as children. We would have read these passages when we were children. If you've grown up in church, then you would have seen these. But it's counter-cultural. Parents are bringing their children to Jesus so that he can bless them. But the disciples, his closest followers, no, keep back, don't touch him, keep back. Get your mussy grubs off of him. Don't touch him. They were doing what they felt was, this is the right thing to do. He's the rabbi. Poof. We don't let children go and touch him or sit with him. No way. So they're trying to push the children away. And verse 14, we read this. When Jesus saw this, he was indignant. Big word. Not the sort of word I use in my everyday language. He was angry, he was upset, deeply troubled. And why? Because his own disciples were saying, you're too small, you're too noisy, you're too unimportant. Jesus doesn't have time for you. But Jesus stops everything. He calls the children to himself. He gathers them in his arms. He places his hands on them and blesses them. in a world where children had no social status, Jesus gives them his full attention, his full honor, his full affection. He is saying, these little ones matter. They're welcome. They belong. And if children matter to Jesus, they must matter to us. Because we're called to be like Jesus. You see, this passage doesn't simply show us how Jesus' affection, it shows us his priorities. Children aren't in the way. They're not a distraction. They're not the warm-up act until the adults arrive. They're a gift. They carry the image of God. They are essential members of his kingdom. Do you know that? They are essential members of his kingdom. Children teach us the way of the kingdom. I couldn't find any sort of... So that's adults acting like children, potentially. You see, Jesus goes even further. Anyone who will receive the kingdom of God like a little child will, if you don't do it, you will never enter it. Anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it. I want you to think about it. If you're watching online, I want you to think about that. That anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it. It's like when I spoke on Easter Sunday about the man on the middle cross said I could come. The guy on the cross next to him just said, Jesus, I want to be with you. And he said, today you'll be with me in paradise. He didn't have to get everything right. He didn't have to understand all the theologies. And so much we get hung up on that. Well, I need to understand everything. It's good to understand. But Jesus doesn't say, well, until you've got A, B, C, or D sorted, I'm not going to talk to you. Jesus doesn't say children belong. He says that we just need to become like them. Some of us, therefore, are doing better than others. My wife says, you always act like a child. So there we go. I'm doing great. You know, and we're not saying you need to be running around, you know, sometimes it's good to do that, isn't it? I don't know if you've done that when you feel overwhelmed. Sometimes all you can do is just yell. When you walk around nature, and I love the way the children, they wander, don't they? They go, whoa. And it's just this little thing on the floor. But you think, whoa, look at that thing. We've lost the wonder, haven't we? Well, maybe you haven't, but I know there are people that have. We lose the wonder. And, you know, I love kids. I really do. And that's why I'm happy when Jude comes up or others come up, I want to interact with them. Now, that creates some problems, I know. But there we are. Life is messy. And I hope we will see that through this series. You see, children trust, don't they? Children are curious, open, honest about their needs. I want that. Children believe what you say. Children know they're not self-sufficient. And Jesus says, that's what faith looks like. Children aren't just people we teach. They are people God uses to teach us. That should humble us. It should also motivate us to invest in them. Because God often speaks through them in ways adults overlook. Well, that's too simple. I know, because I've had people say to me, I learned more from what we did in the Worship for Everyone slot than I did in what the bloke spoke about for the last 20 minutes. Do you know what I mean? The children, sometimes those children's story, what's been done for the children, speaks to everybody, and it's like, wow, I get it. I get it. Because we try to make things sometimes too complicated, and actually it's simple. There's that phrase, keep it simple, stupid. I try to do that. You see, though we're saying this, children do, they face significant challenges. If Jesus says, don't hinder them, we must ask, well, what's hindering children and young people today? Well, I've got six, I think. The pressure of constant comparison and social media. We say, well, children don't have it. Well, I can tell you, children do get social media. I'm married to a teacher, so I know children are as really young. There was that one time, which is really, really sad, where children come into school and they don't even know how to use a book properly, because they're trying to scroll it like that because they're so used to screens. But there's a comparison, and our teenagers and our children, they feel like they're on display, their worth becomes tied to likes and appearances and popularity. Secondly, rising levels of anxiety, mental health struggles. Children today often deal with stress that once was reserved for adults. Academic pressure, family instability, fear of the future. I know that children say, but what's going to happen? Well, now we've had, because especially with the pandemic and things like that, they have lived through things. You know, I was an adult when I dealt with the pandemic. But there were children walking through that. And what's happening? Some of you will have a bit of experience. Maybe, I'm going to say this. Maybe you were alive in World War II. And you've those sort of experiences as a child. Well, what's happening? But there is that mental anxiety about the future, fear. What's going to happen? Is the world still going to be around because of all this eco and what we're doing to it? Identity confusion. The culture around them sends mixed messages about who they are, what defines them, what success looks like. We've got young people going to exams, and it's like, you need to do this. This is, and that's right, yes, we do need to work, but does that really define who you are? I failed my GCSEs. Sorry about that. Wasn't on my entry into this church. But I did. I didn't do very well in my GCSEs. I got one B, two Ds, and the rest were E's. And E's were English and maths. But it didn't stop me. Overscheduling and exhaustion. Many of our young people and children move from school to sports to activities to homework, leaving very little time for rest and reflection or simply being a child. And actually, it puts pressure on the families, on the children, on the parents too, doesn't it? I know families that are flying from one activity to another to another. And they think, well, hang on, let's see if I can fit that in as well. Well, really? So overscheduling and exhaustion. And I bet some of you feel like that too, and you're adults. And I know there are people who are retired who go, well, actually, I'm working really, really hard. I wish I was working again. It was a bit easier. Loneliness. Even though the world is more connected digitally, many children, young people feel more isolated than ever. They feel alone. And I know that's also that's society, because there are adults who feel exactly the same. There are 20, 30-year-olds who feel isolated. So I'm speaking about children, but actually some of this is across society, isn't it? There's the lack of intergenerational relationships. Many children grow up without meaningful relationships with adults outside of the family. Yet the Bible shows us that faith is passed on relationally. In Jesus' time, the hindrance was the disciples. Today, the hindrance looks different. But the call of Jesus is still the same. Let the children come. Make space for them. Bless them. Value them. The whole church shares responsibility. Notice something really important. It wasn't the children who came to Jesus on their own. The community brought them. And when the disciples tried to stop and send them away, Jesus corrected them. And this teaches us something profound. That every adult in the church, shares responsibility for the spiritual well-being of the children in this community. Now, you don't need to be a parent to shape the next generation. You don't need to be a Sunday kids' church leader. Your prayers matter. Your encouragement matters. Your presence matters. Your example matters. You see, children learn what it means to follow Jesus, not only from lessons, but from people. We have an all-age slot, all-age worship at the beginning, because when we all come together as a whole family, we want everyone to worship. And so I want to see people of all ages worshiping, because actually, if we worship with enthusiasm, with all we are showing the children, this is what we do. God's worth it. So I don't care making a fool of myself for Jesus, because I want my children that come to this church, and I want my teenagers that come to this church, and I want my adults that come to this church to be more undignified than this, because my God is worth it. My God is worth it. So please, if you think, oh, I can't do that, fine. But if you can just do a little bit, release yourself a little bit, your inner child a little bit, and do a little bit of the actions, great. And maybe it may mean that we as adults have to go, okay, I'm going to grin and bear it. Because there are times when I'm thinking, oh, there are, I'm being honest. I love kids, but they do irritate me too. Don't they? Same as I've got adults that irritate me. There are, and we just need to work together. I brought two plants in. No, that's fine. No. Please don't worry. As you can see, one looks not too bad, does it? It looks quite healthy, would you say? Yes. Good. Sorry, what? Well, yeah. And then one, not so. Not so much. This is not a good one. You see, church, if you look at the healthy one, it's vibrant, it's upright, it's flourishing. It didn't get that way by accident, okay? This plant hasn't got this way by accident. It grew because it was planted in good soil, watered, and it's sort of cared for. And it's given sunlight. And, that, yeah. And then you've got this one that actually it is withered, as you can tell. And it's not withered because the seed was bad or the bulb was bad. It's withered because the environment's failed it. Okay? Here's the lesson. So this is the object lesson for this. Children grow best. Children grow best in good soil. And the soil of a young person's faith is the whole church's responsibility. If the soil is loving and prayerful, they will flourish. If the soil is harsh, distracted, or indifferent, their faith suffers. We are oil. We are all the soil. And God is calling us to be the most life-giving environment possible. That's what he's asking us to be. The most vibrant place where people are going to come and they're going to be planted and they're going to sprout up and grow. Mahala talked about being oaks of righteousness. We want our children to be strong oaks because there'll be a time when we won't be here, but they will be. I don't want this church to end with us. Because there are some churches that's how it works, isn't it? There are people, it's dwindling. I don't want that. I want us to be flourishing. I want us to be a place where we are an orchard, where we are putting a tree. We've got a one here. We've got one down the road. We've got one somewhere else. That, you know, the devil can't keep us down. He can't, because we've got God. And with God, we can do everything. And it may feel at times, as we are experiencing a bit at the moment, that it's tough, that it's hard. But everything is possible with God. So why do children matter to God? Because they matter to Jesus. Because they show us how to receive the kingdom of God. Because the world is full of hindrances that we are called to remove. Because God has entrusted them to the whole church, not just the parents. It is the parents, they are responsible. I'm not saying if you're a parents, this doesn't mean it's a get out clause for you. I'm expecting you to invest in your children. I'm expecting you to be the example of Jesus for your children. Because sometimes parents do that. They go, well, actually, that's down to the church to do. Wrong. I want to see you bless your children. And I want to see us help the parents. I want to see us help the parents of the teenagers. Because having a teenager is not easy. I wish my... She's here, isn't she? So, yeah. You know, you think when he gets to 18, you think, oh, we're off our hands. Really? Do you know, she's lovely. So, but, you know, you do. I mean, sometimes you think, oh, if only there were three. Then they would wear what you want them to wear, eat what you want them to eat, and sort of do. But no, so, yeah, we want to... God's entrusted us. What a privilege that he's entrusted us. There are churches in our community and around the town and around our world that would fight for what we've got. So let's not take it for granted. Let's rejoice. Let's celebrate. As we begin this series, we may hear Jesus' words with fresh ears. Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them. This is our call. This is our responsibility. This is our privilege. And it is a privilege. May the Holy Spirit help us become a church where every generation grows, because every generation is valued. And where we truly grow together.